This is John Walden again. You're welcome to our Bible study. We're in 2 Peter, the second chapter, and we were just talking in our last study about the 14th verse. These false teachers against whom Peter is warning us in chapter 2 are people who are filled with evil desires. Their lives match their false doctrines. And he says the reason is that they have forsaken the right way. Verse 15 says, "...and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet." Now he's showing us that these are not people who have lost their salvation, but these are apostates. They have forsaken the right way. They haven't forsaken the Savior. They didn't know the Savior, but they knew the way. They knew the Bible. There are many people today who can give you chapter and verse for a lot of things, but they are not right teachers of the Word. They are people who have turned from the right truths. In many cases, they have joined with some of the apostate cults. In other cases, they have gone away after what we used to call modernism or liberalism, but now neo-orthodoxy. They have turned away from the truths of God. And he gives the example of Balaam in the Old Testament. Now, Balaam was a false prophet. He was never a believer. It's true that he spoke some very wonderful parables because the Lord made him say these things, just as the Lord spoke through Balaam's ass. I don't expect to see either one of them in heaven. This man, Balaam, was a covetous warlock or a male witch. He was a man who was filled with iniquity. It speaks about that here. Rebuked for his iniquity. Iniquity means rebellion. This man said he would like to die the death of the righteous and have his last end be like his, but he wanted to live the life of the devil always during his lifetime. And he didn't die the death of the righteous at all. He died with God's enemies. So he's an example of these people. Now in verses 17 and 18, he tells us that these people are like wells without water. What is more disheartening than a dry well? And what is more disheartening than to listen to a man with an empty profession get up and spout off yards and yards of words, but there's nothing for God's people? You know and I know that this is going on regularly. And then these are clouds carried about with a tempest. Clouds ought to bring rain. Instead of this, they're bringing destruction. They ought to bring refreshment to the people of God. Instead of this, they're bringing a withering preaching. They are wordy. They're proud. They even make allowance for lust. It says they allure through the lusts of the flesh. I read the other day that a man who takes the place of being a minister of the gospel suggested that there are times when immorality is not immoral at all. He said it all depends on whether love is involved or not. How low can you get? This is changing the Word of God and allowing for lust. They promise liberty, he says. They promise liberty, which is really license, while they themselves are the slaves. That's the word servant in verse 19, the servants of corruption, the slaves of corruption. You see, what these apostate teachers are doing is gathering people to themselves and making an apostate church. Because a local congregation soon becomes like the man they listen to. If you're sitting in a congregation like this, if you're listening to an apostate preach, for the love of your own souls, get out of the place. If the man who's preaching where you go is preaching the truth, stand back of him. Stand by him. Encourage him. Help him. But if he's not preaching the truth, don't stay in the place. Because if you do, you're going to bring yourself into the same kind of thing that he is in. And sooner or later, you'll find out this is exactly what he has. Verse 19 says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage." Then he tells that these people, for a while, had escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but are now again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Any person who accepts religion will probably live a more decent life for a time. Now, that doesn't mean that he is saved. These people we're reading about here knew about Christ. They knew the way. They knew it, it says. They knew it, but they turned from the holy commandment delivered unto them. You see, knowing facts doesn't mean that you are born again. I knew all of these facts before I received Christ as my own Savior. And I have known men who have reformed, joined church, cleaned up their lives, and then after a while have gone back into something far worse than they came out of. You remember the Lord Jesus told the story about the evil spirit that went out of a man, but he found no rest. And so he said, I will return unto my house. And he taketh with him seven other evil spirits, more wicked than himself. And he says the last end of that man is worse than the first. I think that's the same thing that Peter's referring to here. A man can be reformed. He can have the evil cleaned out of his life. But if he doesn't have Christ filling that life, he's going to go back. When a man goes back and stays back, you can be sure that he never knew Christ. Now, I know there are some who say, well, this is a man who was saved and then got lost again. But how can you say this in the face of scriptures like the Lord's own teaching in the 10th of John? I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. If you didn't belong to him, it's very easy to go back into these old ways. And this is exactly what he says these people do. The final end of this false profession, this false life, this saying that I am a Christian and even taking the place of being a Christian minister, at the last, he says, he is entangled therein and overcome. Now, entangled means that he has no one to help him out of this entanglement. The Lord Jesus is constantly disentangling his own. That form of the verb is used in the New Testament in connection with his explaining things to his people in the 24th chapter of Luke. But there's no one to help them. They get back in, they're entangled, and they're overcome, and their last end is worse than the first. Now, in order to point up that he is not talking about sheep, he gives us, in the closing verse of the second chapter of 2 Peter, what climaxes the whole warning. From the very beginning, he's been talking about the same kind of people, the people who are teaching false doctrine, who have a false profession, who are not real at all. And so he says at the closing verse, but it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. A dog goes back to his own vomit. A sow goes back to the mud wallow. Why? Why, because the nature of the dog and the sow have never been changed. Now, does God call his children dogs? Does he call them sows? Do you remember any place at all in the New Testament that the Lord spoke of his own as, you are my dogs and sows? No. Every time he said, you're my sheep. I'm your shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. What's the difference? Well, there's a great deal of difference. My uncle was a sheep man, and I said to him one day, how can you tell a sheep's track from a hog's track? I had looked them over, and I just couldn't see enough difference. They both have a split hoof. He said, why, Johnny, you just watch and see where it goes. If it goes down to the loblolly, he called it, down to the hog wallow, well, then, of course, you know it's a hog's track. Well, I said, don't sheep ever get in the mud? And he said, they certainly do. But they cry to get out. It wasn't long after that until I heard one doing that very thing. And my uncle had to wade out through the mud to the edge of the water. This poor sheep was thirsty and had gotten out to the water, all right, to get his drink. But while he was standing there drinking, he had sunk into the mud and he couldn't get out. Now, if he had been a hog, he would have lain down in that mud and made a good, nice, comfortable place for himself and then grunted in contentment. But he was a sheep, so he bleated until the shepherd found him and got him out. That's how you tell the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian when he gets into sin. You may have a profession of being a Christian, but if sin is still sweet to you, if you still love to get out when you think nobody is looking and get into the same old sins again, you can be pretty sure that you're still a dog or a sow and not a sheep. Now, don't get offended at me. I'm just telling you what the second chapter of 2 Peter says about these things. Well, is there no hope at all? Why, of course. It was this same Peter who said in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He died for you. He rose again. He lives to be your Savior, and He'll be your keeper right through to the end. Our Father, we thank Thee for this Savior. We thank Thee for the warnings in Thy Word against those who are teaching false doctrine. And we pray for all who have heard Thy Word just now in our Savior's name. Amen.